Hey there, freaks. I think I'm just gonna start doing this normally because it fucks up the flow when we're live. This episode of Rabbit Hole Recap was brought to you by the Cash App. You freaks already know all about them. If you don't have them downloaded yet, what the fuck are you waiting for? And when you do download them, make sure you use the code STACKINGSATS. That's gonna get you $10. And then $10 is gonna go to our friends at Owls Lacrosse. Owls Lacrosse. And what's going to happen when you download it? You're going to get a bunch of stuff. You're going to get Cash App Investing, which lets you stack slivers of stonks. If your favorite stonk is just a little bit too expensive and you don't want to buy a whole piece of it, Cash App Investing is letting you buy as little as $1. And because your Cash App is connected directly to your bank account, you don't have to wait. There's no 4 to 5 day waiting period. So you're going to be able to invest right away. All right? You're not going to have to wait. Cash App Investing is member SIPC. It's a subsidiary of Square and is member SIPC. And on top of that, you're still going to be able to stack sats, sell sats, send sats, receive sats, and you get their boost program. I've been using their boost program pretty much every day. If you guys aren't checking that out and you have the Cash App, make sure you're checking the boost because they change it pretty aggressively. And you're missing out on those deals if you're not checking it. So go download the Cash App, use the code STACKINGSATS, get your $10, send it to Owls, and just be dope. All right. This episode is also brought to you by Unchained Capital. Our great friends at Unchained are doing incredible things in the Bitcoin financial services realm, mainly with multi-sig and lending. All right. So they got their Vaults program, which lets you enter in a multi-sig quorum with Unchained, where they can act as a signer in the quorum. If you ever need to move funds from your Unchained vault, Unchained is there for you. If you want to move them yourself, you can have two of three or M of N and move it yourself as well. On top of that, they have their lending side. So if you don't want to sell your Bitcoin, friends don't let their friends sell Bitcoin. You can use your Bitcoin as collateral for a US dollar loan so you can get liquid and not have to sell your Bitcoin. On top of that, they're doing incredible stuff when it pertains to open sourcing their products and working on open source projects in Bitcoin. Most notably, they have Caravan, which open sources their multi-sig quorum, so you can create that yourself and just cut Unchained out if you so please. They're working on things like Slip39 and Hermit as well, and then Parker, Dhruv, Joe, Phil Geiger and company are writing some incredible content on their blog. Parker most notably has Gradually Then Suddenly, which got tweeted out by Fidelity Assets this week.
Fucking awesome.
Fidelity Digital Assets. They're pumping out good content. So go to unchained-capital.com. That's unchained-capital.com. Check it out. Set up a vault. Take out a loan if you don't want to sell your Bitcoin. Check them out. Enjoy this episode. Good rip. What is up, freaks? Welcome back to Tales from the Crypt. It's your boy Marty Bent here with our boy Matt Odell.
Bullish as fuck.
For another edition of Rabbit Hole Recap. Bullish as fuck. Why is that? Is that because we're at sitting at $9,735.00, according to the Clark Moody's Bitcoin dashboard?
I feel it in the air. It feels like the bull's back.
Oh. I was feeling the same way a couple days ago. Now it's like at the point where everybody's bullish, and that always like makes me
gotta stay humble.
Crazy skeptical. We're at block height 616,273. This week, this is a topic we threw on the end of the list, but might as well mention it now while we have Clark's dashboard up in front of us. The number of transactions that have ever been conducted on the Bitcoin network passed 500 million this week, earlier this week, currently sitting at 500,489,783 transactions. That's pretty cool.
With 9 million alone this last 30 days.
Yeah.
So massive.
That's a lot of transactions. Half a bill.
Nobody uses Bitcoin.
Nobody uses it. Again, that's a stat that can be gamed.
Super easy to game.
Super easy to game, but it's actually expensive to game. Satoshi Dice proved that with blockchains with lesser fee pressure.
Fee pressure. Like if fees are super cheap, you can just send millions and millions of transactions to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
For like no cost.
Yeah.
That's why like EOS, it looks like EOS has so many transactions.
Yeah. And BSV, they do this with their weather data and shit like that.
Yeah. Pretty much all the altcoins, but just to different levels, right? Like on Ethereum, it's happened.
Yeah.
or at least it could happen very easily.
Yes, a lot of gameable stats out there. The cost for including transactions isn't high enough, and the network effect isn't great enough. We got a shout out this week. I like the shout out. We'll get into this, and then we'll get into the topics. This is a Bitcoin developer shout out. Hanadi. Not sure what that means. Massive shout out to Bitcoin Core developer Hebasto.
How do you spell it?
Hebasto. Keep grinding. PR reviewing machine. Pick them up, Square. Check them out on github.com/Hebasto. Again, that's Hebasto. His Twitter is at Hebasto. This is a PSA. Please directly support any and all Bitcoin Core developers. They are your front line for securing the protocol and ultimately your Bitcoin. Thank you to all Bitcoin developers. Don't know who that's from.
Well, thank you for the shout out and thank you for your service, Hebasto.
Hebasto. Yeah, I've not had, honestly, Hebasto is not on my radar. Thanks for pointing that out, whoever. Could have been Hebasto. This could be a self pump. We don't know.
I kind of dig that too. And the other thing to mention here is that GitHub has a Patreon-esque program now. I think they call it GitHub Sponsors.
Yes.
Which is clearly not censorship resistant, but you can set up monthly reoccurring donations to anyone, any developer who's enabled it through GitHub. And right now, I think Microsoft, who owns GitHub now, I think they're matching donations for a promotional period. So you can get Microsoft to contribute to core devs.
I know Jeremy Rubin set his up. I saw that.
Exactly. So Microsoft matches a bunch of those donations.
I didn't know they were matching. Good for Microsoft. Probably not forever.
No. It's definitely just because they just launched the program.
Yeah. So go support your local Bitcoin dev if you want to. You can do it individually. It's a big... Jeremy and I talked about it when he was on the podcast a few weeks ago. It's a big... it's a problem that's becoming less of a problem, in my opinion, with the Square cryptos, chain codes, block streams, digital garages of the world, and then you have individual funders as well. I think as Bitcoin becomes more ingrained in society, the incentive to support these developers is just going to become more obvious and more commonplace.
I would love if... Have you seen how BTC Pay handles their contributor donations? Like, you go to their webpage, and they have faces of a bunch of the different contributors to BTC Pay server, and if you click their face, it goes to their individual BTC Pay instance where you can donate like instantly. It'd be pretty awesome if we had a site that just had like a bunch of core devs listed, and you could just click their name and
GitHub
pay them.
GitHub.
Yeah, but it'd be nice to do if you could do it with Bitcoin, like easily, all in one place. Like a bunch of them have donation ability, you know. Set up with Bitcoin, but it'd be nice if there was just a single page, because sometimes I'll just go to BTC Pay and I'll just rain dollars on each of them.
Speaking of which, how about that dude wearing a BTC Pay hat at the Lakers Portland game?
That was bittersweet, because dude, if you're listening, fuck yeah, that's awesome. I felt a little bit bad retweeting it, right?
No.
Because like you kind of doxed him a little bit.
He was on TV. He doxed himself.
I agree. And it was a blurry face.
If you're gonna go into a place with a bunch of cameras with the possibility of being on TV, you're doxing yourself. Some people tried to call us out for that. I did not feel bad about that.
Yeah, I mean, I retweeted. I thought it's mostly just extremely badass. I love this hat. It's my favorite hat. I wear it like every day now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fucking cool. Let's see more of those hats, places.
Yeah. No, and it helped bump the sales of those hats over the weekend too. And the reminder, 25% of the profits from these hats are going to BTC Pay. Still have to coordinate how we're going to hand out the donations.
Oh, I know how we're going to.
How?
I was supposed to talk to you about it before the pod.
Rockstar reached out.
He wants it converted to hats and brought to San Francisco.
Okay, we can do that.
Yeah, and that's what I told him as well.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Yeah, we'll do that again. We haven't, haven't been flying off the shelf. We've sold a considerable amount, but it's a great way to support BTC Pay and their efforts.
It's a sick fucking hat.
And
it's OPSEC friendly.
Yeah.
Unless you get on TV and someone tweets out a picture of you.
Yeah, exactly. So those hats are there. Go check them out. We got a long list today. It's been a big week. A lot has been announced. Prices obviously going up a bit, and a lot of shit going on around the world. Coronavirus has not gone away. It's still here. But we'll start with some Bitcoin related stuff. Casa, I'm sure some of you freaks saw their announcement. Jeremy Welch has taken a step back to deal with some family issues, and Jameson and Nick Newman are taking over the reins of the company. On top of that, they will no longer be selling their nodes. So the Casa node 2 is going to be the last hardware node they release, at least at this point. They've also reduced their gold package to $10 per month, and they're really going to focus in on the self-sovereignty security aspect of their business, really focusing on inheritance, self-custody, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so Nick Newman's going to be the new CEO, and him and Lop are going to take over a lot of the roles that that Jeremy had before. So that seemed like a good team to lead. Nick is awesome. I've talked to Nick a lot. Jameson's, everyone knows Jameson. Nick's more behind the scenes. As for the node, they're shipping out the node 2s to anyone who's already ordered it, but they're stopping new sales, and they're going to open source the code so anyone can run their own. Shout out to White Rabbit BTC, who he installed my node to his Casa node 2 instead. He wiped Casa's software and just put my node on it, which might be a good option for people to consider. You just basically load my node onto the SD card, and because it's just a Raspberry Pi with SSD already, then you get Electrum, all the other stuff that my node already offers. More open Lightning experience. You get to use Zap and Zeus and stuff like that. The $10 multisig is seems like a pretty, it's a gold plan, $10 a month. It's like almost half the price.
And just, so you're paying basically to have a service provider, in my opinion, be there to sign for you if you need them.
Yeah, it's a super easy interface. You can use it with a hardware wallet. You can use it with two hardware wallets, or you can use it with a hardware wallet and your phone holding a key. You can use different brands, relatively easy. I've tested it all out. It's fantastic. With the one caveat with all these cosigner services is that they do know your balances and your addresses, and you're trusting their node in terms of like verification of your Bitcoin. But as far as multisig, it's a very easy option.
Yeah, so that's there. Thoughts and prayers going out to Jeremy and his family. I know it had to be tough to take a step back for that, but it must be serious if that's that's the case. Family first.
Much love.
Yeah. Hey, we tell people to fucking speak up. We speak up. It seems to have worked, particularly with Wasabi.
It was like a day later.
So if you freaks haven't heard yet, they've fixed the, they removed the fixed fee address.
Yeah, so now every round, it fetches a new fee address from the coordinator. And then they have like a fallback hard-coded XPub if it's not able to pull the address. So, I mean, it's good to see. It's definitely an improvement. It's a slight improvement. People should understand that you can still easily see these coin joins on chain. But hopefully we've seen a bunch of flags recently. I think we've seen, would we say four flags? Four or five times exchanges have flagged it. And, you know, exchanges are supposed that are compliant exchanges. They're making like a best attempt to police suspicious activity. So hopefully this gives them a little bit more plausible deniability. It's not like right in their face that this transaction was like one hop away from an illicit transaction. So yeah, so hopefully we'll see it. It's good to see. It's a nice improvement. But I really like that transaction zero model that Samurai is using. Like the idea that you have all of the UTXOs are exactly the same amount seems superior to me.
Yeah, well, and it seems like the market is liking it more too. It was a big month for Samurai. Whirlpool usage. This is your tweet. All-time high across pools when weighted by pool size. So what are we looking at here? What are these charts?
So I took I took the amount of rounds. Each round in Samurai is 5 UTXOs. So I multiplied that by the pool size and by 5 because there's 5 UTXOs. And then I added it all up to give like the amount of Bitcoin that's gone through. Because there's 3 different pool sizes, right? And you really, they're independent liquidity pools, but it's just like a nice little metric to track it. Yeah, and what did it come out to, like 350 Bitcoin or something like that?
356.
But you have to keep in mind those are remixes and stuff. And you also have to keep in mind that this is still way less than Wasabi volumes.
Yes. And this is big jump. I mean, there was the previous high was 303.55 Bitcoin in October of 2019, and it fell over the course of the end of the last year to 172.9 Bitcoin.
These are monthly numbers.
In December, and then January had a big pop, more than double what it did in December.
So part of the reason is because they're testing out mobile mixing, and I'm in the beta test of that, or the alpha test, I guess, even. So, I mean, that's the expectation. The expectation is when people can just, you know, pair their phone to their Dojo with a QR code and just press the mix button on their phone, there'll be a lot more liquidity. Because the one thing about the transaction zero model that Samurai uses is that it does require constant new liquidity entering the system. Because otherwise mixes won't happen. Every mix requires at least two. My understanding is the way it's set up right now is that at least two new UTXOs that have never been mixed before have to come in, and they pay for the actual round of the mix, right?
Yes. So, I mean, and this is a big topic. Like somebody, the Monero, there's more Monero stands in my Menchie's this morning, man.
You know, people love Monero.
It's so annoying, though. So that's, I mean, and it is, we've talked about this a lot, an easy, not attack vector, but an easy thing to point at and say, hey, Bitcoin's insufficient in this area, mainly being privacy.
It's like its biggest insufficiency, to be fair.
Yeah, but, yeah. And again, I've said this many times in the bent, there may be an order of operations to this thing, and I think securing the assurances around the hard cap of the supply trumps privacy at the protocol level, because as we're seeing, you can, number one, get privacy with coin joins if you use them correctly. We have no idea who sent us that shout out.
But we could potentially dox them if we wanted to try.
If we wanted to try. Yeah, that's true. All right, so that's not a good point. But hopefully Lightning will help with this. And then I think there are protocol improvements on the horizon that will help enable more unique or creative coin join schemes. And I think privacy, as we move more to a closed loop system, we'll get better over time. I think it has gotten better over time. Do you think it has gotten better or worse?
It's gotten significantly better. Just the fact that we have Wasabi and Samurai right now working on these CoinJoin tools is a huge improvement. I mean, when did Wasabi launch? What did we say, 2 years ago? Was it September?
Was it even 2 years ago? I thought it was like last summer.
It was like a year and a half. It was like September of not last year, but the year before, right?
Yeah.
And now Samurai's in like full swing. They're about to get the mobile mixing. You know, I think Lightning, when we talk about it a lot, I think it helps. Lightning helps a lot more when it comes to like sender, when you're the sender, helps you with a lot of, privacy. I could see a lot of privacy improvements there. Receiving, you know, maybe a little bit less so. But I think we're going up, but it's definitely Bitcoin's biggest, you know, 99.9% of people are not going to be able, especially if they ever use a KYC service, are not going to be able to use Bitcoin privately right now. Like, it's just, there's too many pitfalls.
Yeah, but with that being said, our friend HODLWAVE, who's bursting onto the scene with a bunch of dope shit, he's lined up for our next topic, but he actually just tweeted something out like 2 hours ago that's relevant to this topic. Even if the ownership identity, this is his tweet, at HODLWAVE, even if the ownership identity of every UTXO was public information, that doesn't prohibit perfect privacy from being recaptured at some point in the future. However, in my opinion, there's a stronger argument that we can only lose security and digital scarcity assurances one time. Once they're gone, you're not going to get them back. General reasoning for this, Bitcoin scarcity is enforced at the protocol level. Nodes validating monetary policy and transaction rules. Bitcoin has no concept of human identity, just transaction outputs that can be unlocked cryptographically. Notions of privacy largely center around how we interact with the protocol. For example, buying from KYC exchanges subject to government regulations, broadcasting transactions that network observers can use to make inferences about ownership. And to some extent, there are already solutions that solve these problems for those that can use them. BIS network is one. Running a node and broadcasting transactions over Tor is another. Increased liquidity resulting in more of Ragnar's Bitcoin circular economy. That's coming. It's just going to take time. And it's just in the nature of the traditional system interacting with this alien technology.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. I just, you know, obviously, if we fuck up the soundness of Bitcoin supply, then it's hard to ever come back from that. As far as every UTXO being known, or like that, you know, you take it to its logical extent that every single UTXO is known, it would be hard to, we would be in a hard time that, like, for actual Bitcoiners, like, the system could survive and we would probably, it would probably usher in more privacy, you know, things to make it more private to combat it. But like, if we had states coming at us and like most UTXOs are known, like, it would be really bad for Bitcoiners in that particular time.
Yes, but again, it's what's easier to preserve. Like, you could find privacy in the future once the assurance of the supply cap's broken. You don't really get that back.
No, yeah, you have to be conservative. You have to be extremely conservative. But it needs to be. It's got to be more of a priority. You know, like,
I think it is.
I think there's a lot of Bitcoiners that's. They don't think they have anything to hide. They don't have any desire for it. And I wish that they realize that even if they, for whatever reason, even if I disagree with that, they think they don't need privacy, it's better for the whole system if these tools get built out sooner rather than later. Because we as Bitcoiners, we need to be ready before you need them.
Yeah.
And it is a decent attack vector for individual states going against individual Bitcoiners, not necessarily as a network attack vector.
Agreed. But I'm confident that the tools are being built and they will be brought to market. And again, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Like, yes, I'm cautiously bullish.
Yeah, as am I. But sticking on HODLWave, this dude's a beast. He's been working on a Python wallet that aims to improve the experience of using Bitcoin Core for PSBT, enabled multi-signature cold storage. So basically, it's very hard to interact with a Bitcoin Core wallet at this point. Cold Card is probably the only one that has PSBT enabled out of the box.
Trezor added it, didn't they?
I think they might have. They might have, but HODLWave's making it seem like Cold Card is the only hardware wallet to integrate it natively at this point. Basically, the tool will allow you to create PSBTs with Bitcoin Core more easily, because right now you have to interact with the JSON RPC call, which is, I couldn't do that.
Basically, the way I look at it is it falls in a similar role as Justin Moon's Junction aims to fill, which is the idea that you run Bitcoin Core, you run Proof Wallet, so you run Bitcoin Core plus one app, and then you can create, you can use it with multi-sig wallets, right? Whether you have a key on your computer, if you use a stateless hardware wallet, you can use a quorum of a bunch of different brands of hardware wallets, and you're able to make a sovereign multi-sig solution where you use your own node and you don't trust any third parties relatively easily. And I'm really bullish on this concept as a whole. Like, I think that's where we need to go. I think Electrum's too complicated for most people. But anyway, he has this. It's released in testnet only right now.
Don't go using it on mainnet.
Yeah, but go test it out, you know, submit some pull requests. He's looking for help.
Yeah, we'll link to the GitHub.
It's a laudable goal.
Yeah. And now again, like, interacting with Bitcoin Core using JSON RPC is not for the technically inept, which I fall into that category.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, PSBTs haven't been added. They're relatively recent to Core anyway. So.
Yeah. And they help with privacy, right? In a way, like you, if you construct a transaction offline and broadcast it somewhere completely different.
I mean, like everything else. Yeah, nuance, I guess you could nuance, do that. Nuance. But yeah, there's a lot of nuance there. Yeah.
So this is...
definitely, stuff like Proof Wallet helped. If PSBTs help enable more people to use their own full node when they're checking their wallet, like their balances and stuff, then that's huge. Like one of the biggest privacy vulnerabilities that no one ever talks about is like fucking all the people using Trezor and Ledgers, right? That's like two sets of servers that just have like tons of UTXO data.
Well, that's actually, we don't have this on the list. I'm happy you brought that up. Malik pointed it out earlier this week. The number of nodes running through Tor is at an all-time high right now.
Well, for it's nodes that contribute, that seed blocks to the network.
Okay.
So there is visible nodes, right? Like Luke has his famous chart where...
Non-listening nodes.
The other thing is Bitnodes finally like fixed their crawler. So for a while it was under-reporting Tor nodes. And then the other thing is I think it's like 16% of reachable nodes that Bitnodes is pulling up, which is fucking great to see. The only reason it's the most is because all the other ones are split out by ISP, right? So like you have like AWS nodes, you have Azure nodes, you have all the different ISPs where they're located. And like Tor is the biggest group of those, but still fucking awesome to see. And I feel like a lot of it is because of Lightning.
Natively just running it through Tor, things like
there's such an advantage to running a Lightning node through Tor, because if you don't, you're literally just exposing your public capacity there.
Yeah.
Then maybe more people are running Bitcoin Core nodes through Tor as well.
Yeah. No, and this is actually a good segue into the BitMEX research. They were listening to the pod.
How cool is this? This is fucking them and Wasabi.
Yeah. So BitMEX research, they updated their most recent, actually I don't know if it's their most recent post, I think it was part 7 of their Lightning Network series. They've been doing an incredible series on the Lightning Network, just explaining how it works, dissecting data. One of the most recent, I think it's the most recent, I don't know if part 8's out yet, they broke down the proportion of public versus private nodes, which we talked about last week, and the breakdown of channels, excuse me, not private and public nodes, private and public channels. Breakdown is about 72% public and 28% private, but that does not tell us how much Bitcoin is locked in there. They went back and crunched the numbers after we asked about that, and the private node influence is a little less when you take that into consideration.
Private channel.
No, private channel influence is less because as a percentage of total Bitcoin locked, again, the number of channels is 28% private, 72% public. The amount of Bitcoin locked in, I don't know the exact.
It's 12%.
Number. Yeah, it's 12% and 88%. So 12%.
So yeah, 28% of channels are private and they account for 12% of the
Bitcoin
capacity.
Yeah.
On the Lightning Network is the estimate.
Yes. And they're pulling data from 1ML. They're using 1ML.com's API.
And the non-cooperative closes and extrapolating.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, you know, that kind of makes sense to me. I didn't listen back to our last RHR, but I think that's what we were guessing. Maybe we weren't, though. I don't know. But that makes sense to me because private channels are usually from a mobile wallet to like one routing node, two routing nodes. You know, routing nodes don't really use private channels.
Do private channels help with privacy?
I mean, they do a little bit because you're not publicly broadcasting the capacity.
But the end node knows where it's coming from.
I think Taproot should help more because you can still see it on chain. That's how they're extrapolating here. But I guess it just looks like a 2 of 2 multisig unless it's a non-cooperative close, and then you can tell that it's a Lightning transaction.
Yeah.
Lightning open close. So private channels do help, but obviously they're not going to help you with the node you're connected to. And when you're receiving, the sender doesn't know that the private channel is there, so you actually have to, your invoice gives up that private channel exists to let it know. It gives a routing hint to let it know.
So you're trusting that the person that you're sending an invoice to isn't sharing that information.
Right. And then this is different than running a node through Tor or running it on ClearNet. You can run a node on ClearNet and also use private channels. So obviously best to use Tor plus private channel. Yeah. But it seems to me, I mean, we're not experts, but it seems to me that like if you run a Tor node, you run a personal Tor node, you have a private channel open with like one big node that you like kind of trust. As long as that big node doesn't fuck around with you, you probably have pretty good sending privacy. And if you coin join before you open the channel in the first place, so you like coin join, have a Tor node, open a channel with one big channel with a routing node of choice, and then never receive, only send, you might have some, there seems like privacy gain there.
Yeah, it seems like it. Tim Ruffing sunned me on Twitter a few months ago.
I mean, you're trusting that routing node. That routing node could just be logging everything, and then there's zero privacy again or whatsoever.
It seems, while we're on Lightning, I'm like very bullish on Lightning, even though people are poo-pooing it. Lightning Labs this week announced the closing of another Series A round. Because they already had a Series A round.
Right? How can you have two Series A's? Is that a thing? Did they extend the Series A?
Ongoing? I don't know. What? $10 million.
They raised $10 million.
Yeah. And they announced the launch of the Loop beta, Lightning Loop beta, which is an app they've been working on to help around UX of onboarding and offboarding people on the Lightning, merchants in particular. Elizabeth Stark wrote a great Medium post entering the decade of Lightning, sort of laying out what she sees as the big steps for the next decade, and particularly revolving around Lightning and how it may be the thing that is talked about over the 2020s.
It's talking her book.
Yeah, it's true.
Lightning Loop is interesting, the beta release, because they've been talking about it for a while, and the idea is that you can rebalance your channels
without having to open and close them.
Right, you're doing like an off-chain swap. Yeah, you're doing an like on-chain swap. Yeah. But what's interesting is they have a centralized server that does the loop, and they're charging for that service. So if you loop out, it's going to be 0.05 to 0.5%, and if you loop in, it's 0.1 to 1%. And I've been wondering this for a while. Why are people investing in Lightning Labs? Like, how do they... they maintain L&D, but where do they make a profit, right? So supposedly they're going to be releasing a bunch of services like this, tools and services that they're going to charge fees on.
Is this good or bad?
Well, we have a lot of Lightning teams, working on different implementations. We have like five implementations now, but three big ones. Lightning Labs isn't just Lightning Labs. I don't think there's necessarily a problem with it.
Yeah. And I mean, speaking of other implementations, Eclair version 0.3.3 was released this week by Async.
The big one there is multi-part payments, which the other two, C-Lightning and L&D both added multi-part payment support already, so Eclair is pulling up to meet that.
Yeah, and this is actually pretty big too. Deterministic builds, so the core Eclair library can now be built deterministically from source. There we go. Just got to slow it down sometimes.
Awesome. And the other thing about Lightning Labs is like it's good to, you want these companies to have sustainable business models. You want them to be able to last a while and fund a lot of development, and it's just better for the system as a whole. This seems like a relatively reasonable way to make a profit while developing Lightning.
Yeah, and I think Elizabeth's a great face for Bitcoin and Lightning. She went on Yahoo Finance this week and fed some chickens. She fed
Polo feed.
The Polo feed. Polo. One of my favorite applications of Lightning. It is crazy. You just point your phone at an invoice. You pay, I believe, like 7 cents, and you feed some chickens that you have no idea where they are.
Those lucky chickens.
Those chickens are going to get fat. Whoever's on the whoever going to be enjoying those chickens at their end of life cycle, very lucky. They're well fed. We'll just stay on the upgrades here. BTC Pay server upgraded to version 1.0.4.1.
What the fuck is with that naming system?
I don't know.
Sats the standard. Big update.
Yeah.
You can finally price your invoice in sats.
It's huge. It's actually, I mean,
massive.
Let's talk about unibuys for a little bit. That's one of the biggest problems I see moving forward. I think the exchanges should move to sats too, because people are going to be looking at people still don't conceptualize that you can buy a fraction of Bitcoin.
Yeah. So, I mean, the key here is they were displaying balances in sats already, but like, for instance, on TFTC, we can't price any of our things. Like, the dime bag is 10 cents, and then it shows it in sats, but we price it in USD cents. Mm-hmm. Now we can say, like, the dime bag is 10,000 sats or whatever. You couldn't do that before. You couldn't price
it in sats.
Yeah. But whatever, you know. The point is, like, we should be able to price in sats. So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah. Shout out to the BTC Pay server team. Doing huge things. They came out with the vault stuff last week. Always upgrading.
All right, 10,000 sats is a dollar.
Yeah. Blockstream Green, they came out with version 3.3.3.
I like that version number.
Yeah, it's a lucky one.
Ledger support on the iPhone with the Ledger Nano X because it has Bluetooth in it, so you can do 2 of 2 multi-sig with Green Wallet.
And a Ledger.
Yeah. And Ledger has their own app that you can use with the Ledger Nano X on the iPhone. Out? No, Blockstream is one of the keys, and your Ledger's the other one. And they already had support on Android with a USB cable.
But wouldn't the Blockstream key be the one on your phone that you... That's.
It doesn't appear that way.
No.
Interesting. That's what I thought the setup was going to be. But they seem pretty... you know, their model, their 2 of 2 multi-sig model on the phone is two-factor authentication. So you set either one of those time-based apps or email or text, and then when you do that two-factor, that's why they sign with their key. I love Green Wallet, but I don't have the two-factor enabled.
Yeah, I gotta hand up here. I gotta experiment with Green Wallet more. I have it downloaded. I have one wallet, but I have not been playing around with it.
It's nice because it's on iPhone and Android, and it has Tor support, so even though you're sending your shit to their servers, and they can link the UTXOs to each other, but at least you're not sending them your IP address. It just gets the job done. It's solid.
Yeah. You were on the warpath yesterday, Lolly.
Oof.
Requiring bank account linked, requiring that you link a bank account to withdraw Bitcoin rewards there. Explanation. Via email was that they need to, KYC compliance basically, and linking your bank account is a way.
Yeah, so this is a Bitcoin withdrawal, mm-hmm. and for some users, it triggers this extra step where they require you to link your bank account to basically comply. Their reasoning is it complies with their KYC requirements. While not giving them any identity information, that they don't need to take any extra identity. So they're basically like trying to inherit the KYC of the bank account. I mean, my problem here is...
And it's the bank saying, hey, we're gonna confirm that these guys are KYC'd. Like none of the info goes to Lolly though, right?
I'm not sure. You know, I think they say that doesn't. Yeah, but my issue here is, like, at the time of withdrawal, like, when you're holding the funds hostage, it's, like, ridiculous. It just seems, it's so user hostile. Like, we've seen Binance do it. We've seen so many different custodians do it. And it's just fucked up. I know they have to comply. I hate KYC, and I know, like, compliant companies have to do KYC. I think all KYC should be up front. Instead of like after users, especially since with like Lolly, there's like a 90-day waiting period for your funds. But let's be clear here, like Lolly was never a private service to begin with. Like they're getting tons of information about you. It's KYC, it's like as Janine says, KYC light.
Yeah.
But this takes it to another step. And just to be clear, this wasn't a bank withdrawal. It was to a Bitcoin address. And a couple of people have reported it since. iCryptoPamp was the first person to post a screenshot, but Fartface, our buddy Fartface, confirmed it. A couple other people.
Shout out Fartface. Go buy BitPiggy.
Yeah. So not great. I mean, even before this, like I really liked Fold's model better. At least I think for Lolly might be more easier for a pre-coiner, someone who's never been a Bitcoiner, to use that interface, like the way they have their referral system set up. But with Fold, like if you're a Bitcoiner and you're willing to go through the gift card route where you're manually pasting gift cards in, it's nice because you can do it without an account. You instantly get the sats instead of waiting to see if there's a return or something because it's a gift card. And it does give you some additional privacy from your credit card. My credit card company just sees fold on my statement now. And the merchant just sees that you're using a gift card. So it does, from everyone but Fold, it improves your privacy a little bit. And it has Amazon, which is fucking great.
I used it for Uber this week. Been Ubering. Yeah, stay off the subways.
On Fold.
Yeah.
Stay off the subways. And but the one thing to keep in mind here is that, you know, Fold will probably have to add KYC at some point. I really hope they don't shotgun KYC. I really hope they never add KYC. But if they do, I hope it's not shotgunned on people. All custodians have this risk. If you have your money with custodians...
if you put your credit card in, aren't you KYC'd, basically?
Yeah, it's like KYC, yeah. That's true. Yeah, so that's like just like the lightest KYC. None of these services should be private. But anyway, the thing you have to remember here is like no matter what, whoever the custodian is, if it's an exchange, if it's a sats-backed service, if it's a lightning-powered game, at any point they can withhold your funds, lose your funds, or take your funds. So you got to always keep that to a minimum. Not your keys, not your coins. If you like the service and you have to use it, you know, their model relies on a custodian, then just keep that balance as low as possible, like constantly withdraw. So if it ever happens, you can just, you know, eat the loss. Like if it's $20, $30, exactly. Whatever.
You should all have a number in your mind, whether it be the amount of sats or the amount of US dollar, to begin sweeping funds off these apps. Make it a habit.
And hopefully Lightning will help on that front because you won't have to like wait for certain thresholds to make the fees worth it.
Yeah. We talked about Strike last week. I was trying to think because that dropped like literally while we were hitting record. This looks cool. Still trying to grasp my head. I just saw the video and a little bit of Rodolfo's explanations of it under the tweet. Cold Card teasing a new HSM model. Seems like they're developing an app that'll let you create permissions for how to interact with your Cold Card.
Okay, so this is dope. It's like I kind of talked about it on the Matt Corallo and Val pod. He basically made it so like anyone could be like a BitGo. So you have a Cold Card and it can co-sign transactions in a set rule set. So you connect, you have one Cold Card that's got the HSM firmware on it and you keep it always plugged in and it's connected to the internet, and if it gets any requests to co-sign, it checks its rules and then can choose whether or not it signs.
It seems pretty cool.
And you can
be your own BitGo.
Yeah, exactly. And you could like offer that to friends and family too if you wanted to. Like if you had your HSM set up, you could.
It's all coming together, freaks. Again, this shit takes time to build. And it seems like dope shit's being built.
Rodolfo's boss. Yeah. Just keeps pumping it out.
Listen.
Thanks, Dad.
Are we worried that there's more money locked in DeFi than there is in Lightning?
Nope. It's amazing. The Ethereum people are just obsessed with locking up money.
It's fascinating.
It's the pumpamentals.
Yeah. And again, number one, apples to orange comparison. Because, again, you're locking funds in Lightning, mainly for utility and hopefully a little yield. And these DeFi, it's all yield. And the fact that you can get more utility by locking up less is actually a better sign, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you just, people, when they make payments, they should go through, right?
Yeah. That's what, like, I wrote about it in the Bent when, this week when we talked about the BitMEX research piece. Like, I've said it on this podcast, like, I've had incredible experiences with Lightning up to this point. Like, set it and forget it, and it's just fucking worked.
Yeah, I mean, receiving is harder than sending, but sending on low amounts, like, you should be able to do it pretty easily.
We've had no problems receiving.
Yeah, I mean, you just need to have inbound liquidity.
Yeah.
But like stuff like Phoenix and Breeze help with that.
Should we talk about...
And Lightning Loop will help about that. Yeah. Should help. Similar services.
Should we talk about your impersonator?
I don't know. Just people are impersonating me all over on all the platforms. Just be aware.
Be aware. Verify.
Double check the usernames.
Yeah.
I will never ask you for an address or your mnemonic seed or something. No, I will never ask you to send me money, so... Keep that in mind.
Yeah. Staying on the hardware side of it, Shift Crypto released results of their new tamper evident.
You see this? This
is fucking cool. Package alpha test. I did not see it.
So they like created, do you remember when they created this tamper evident package to begin with, like a couple months ago? And then they asked for beta testers and they sent it out and they were like, try and break into it without people knowing.
And it seems pretty cool. So what are they? They're using, so freezing Bitbox TEP to -196 degrees Celsius.
Well, that's just an attempt to see if they can. They have like this little pouch in the top that has these little
beads.
Yeah, and so they take a picture of how it looks, and the idea is if the pouch gets manipulated in the open, then you can compare it to the picture, and you can see because it's what we talk about on the podcast a lot, which is. Supply chain attacks when you get your hardware wallet mailed to you if someone intercepts it in the middle.
Yeah, this reminds me of, I believe Peter Todd talked about it a while ago, of another way similar to if you were to like gloss over a part of the packaging with nail polish with glitter in it and take the picture. Similar to that.
Same idea.
Yeah.
The glitter polish.
Yeah. Again, people are getting... Supply chain attacks are something that freak me out. We're actually going to be doing a giveaway on dig.com. We're going to start launching, chill here. We're going to start launching the ability for people to publish content on Dig. And we're going to have like a namespace where people can come and find good content about Bitcoin and curation of stuff that's going on in the Bitcoin world. And we're thinking about doing giveaways too, like Cold Card, Noddle, a bunch of other stuff. But thinking about how to architect the giveaway is funny. Like I don't think Dig's going to be buying this and then mailing it. We're going to set it up with individual providers where the winner of the giveaway will provide the information, then we'll just pay for it and have it sent from the producer itself.
Yeah, just cut out Dig from it altogether. Otherwise, they have to trust Dig.
Exactly. But that's something like the supply chain. Supply chain is something I've been thinking about all week, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think about it all the time. That's why multisig is going to be so nice. But also, stuff like this is a big part of it. And I just think just the ability to like walk into a Best Buy and buy something with cash will be a big improvement.
Yeah.
Because most of the time with these supply chain attacks, what you see is it's a targeted attack on like... couple individuals. It's not like they compromise every single server in Best Buy. They compromise the one server going to the place they want to go to.
Yeah. That's why I'm a big fan of like Junction and the BitBoy. Not Junction, BitBoy. Using Junction.
And Proof Wallet. I love that shit. I think this year is going to be a big year for multisig with your own node. So I'm cautiously optimistic about that as well.
Yeah, it's again, I think it's getting slowly but surely. A lot of people like to poo-poo all this shit. Again, it takes time. I'm gonna repeat that until my dying breath. All this shit takes time, and it is getting built. Speaking of time, the youngins, the youths is what I wrote about today. the Zoomers are fighting back against Instagram tracking. So there was an article in CNET dropped a couple days ago, which basically described the way in which the youth of the world are getting around Instagram's tracking. And it's pretty creative, pretty fucking creative. What they're doing is basically using loopholes within Instagram's system to allow access to a single account by many users to throw off their tracking. So you'll have users scattered throughout the country, throughout the world even, signing into the same account and just fucking with the metadata algorithms.
But Instagram could block this if they wanted to.
It probably could, but again, that's like the point I try to make in the bent this morning. Like, what you should glean from this is that you have the younger generations innately creeped out by this tracking stuff, and there's no history or sort of blueprint for these kids to figure out how to do this. They creatively figure it out themselves just to right. get away from it. And like,
definitely good to see.
So that's something like, you have to think about, what fucking world do we want to live in? Like, the youth of the world is creeped out by the world that they're growing up in, to the point where they're finding creative ways to work around this shit. Like, is that really the atmosphere we want to create for our kids?
I mean, the next generation is going to have facial recognition in all their classes too. So,
fight back, speak up, fight back. I mean,
it's really good to see. It's really good to see. Right? That's what the Monero comment was. It was like, the Zoomers love Monero, right?
No, I don't think so.
I like Paul.
Was that?
It was tweeting Paul's, right?
I muted that guy.
He's the guy, he does mine Monero.
Yeah, I muted him. Get out of my bench. He's that stupid shit. Citadel Workshop. Finally got a spot.
Yeah, we do. I think we only have 10 spots, 10 tickets left. Let me see. So get on it if you haven't. 10 tickets left. And you can buy extra cold cards if you want to. And then you don't have to, I guess you have to like kind of trust us a little bit, but we don't open the seal or anything. But at least you don't give your address to a cold card, so you can pick it up at the Citadel Workshop. So we're going to be doing cold card. We're going to be doing using your cold card with your own full node, using Wasabi. Cause I still think, even though I like Samurai better for coin joins, I think Wasabi is a much easier way to interact with your hardware wallet than using Electrum and Electrum server. So you'll need a cold card, you'll need an SD card, you'll need a USB cable and a computer. And either a wall plug or a battery pack. I tend to like the wall plug better. Yeah, it's more reliable.
Big wall plug fan.
And
I forgot that at my first Citadel workshop.
Yeah. So if you buy a cold card, we also are providing an SD card with that.
All right. Sweet.
So there's 10 spots left. That's going to be March 26th before Bitcoin 2020 in San Francisco. The Flatiron School is hosting us. So shout out to them. It's fucking awesome, and it's going to be 11 to 2 p.m.
And then BTC Pay is also doing something. I think that might be invite only.
Yeah, that's private.
Yeah. So a custom, and this was cool this week. We mentioned it last week. You got on the horn talking to the Late Night Game guys. We have a special weapon skin. TFTC does a custom weapon skin,
sexy as fuck.
So we got a link here. If you guys want to pre-order Late Night, you're gonna get 20% off and this special skin.
Yeah, so as we said earlier, wow, it was just a really productive week from episode to episode. So that's fucking dope. So Late Night, we talked about this before. It's from the Satoshi Games guys. It's a battle royale style game. It's currently in development, so they're using these pre-orders to fund the development. And the idea is that it's a battle royale Fortnite style game that uses sats as the in-game currency. So you can use it for skins and stuff like that. Or you can actually, when you kill someone, you earn sats from them. So I think that's really cool because I like gaming and I like sats. And now we have a weapon skin, so the Zoomers love that shit.
I haven't gamed in quite a while. This might be the first time I get back into it. I can't remember the last time I picked up the sticks. Honestly, I don't know. Not, yeah. What are you picking up the sticks a lot these days?
No, I actually haven't been playing that much recently. But I will when Light Night comes out. I'm super excited for it, and I like that, you know, you support the development of it. It could be a big thing. So
yeah, that's all we got on the topic list. What are we riffing on? Oh, Matt just
Spilled coffee all over myself.
Matt just spilled coffee.
You want to talk about Zero Hedge for a little bit?
Oh yeah, we can do that. Zero Hedge banned, and Ox actually found out Project Veritas just got banned yesterday as well. Found that out before we hit record. It seems that Twitter is cracking down on free speech. Again, it's so Zero Hedge, they got in trouble for their coverage of the coronavirus, and their account has been banned for life.
It was for doxing, right?
They said it was for doxing.
It wasn't really for doxing.
The information was public that they shared, but then they probably did what they implied was a little
pay him a visit.
Yeah, it was very uncouth.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm a little bit torn on it. I don't think anyone should have the power to block anyone off these platforms. Like, I think we need platforms that are distributed so people can't, there's no central control over them to begin with. And then you wouldn't even be in this situation. But at the same time, like, the reason they really blocked them is because that headline that they ran with was like, it was the most alarmist article ever. Like, I remember seeing it when it posted, and it was, you know, they were saying, it was basically like, there's an HIV flu that like the Chinese made that are going to like kill us all. And like people were panicking like fuck, and Twitter panicked and got them on a technicality on the dox bullshit, right? Like that's what that was.
But do we know what's true and what's not?
The likelihood that the Chinese put HIV into SARS or whatever to create this, like super HIV bug thing is very, very, very negligible.
Very low. But, again, we don't have all the data. We don't know what's true, what's not. And I'm not saying it's true. It's a slippery slope, right? Like, who do we want the arbiters of truth to be? And Francis Paulette from Bull Bitcoin tweeted this out a couple days ago. He basically jumped into Twitter's new internal rules. And so their new rules will now label tweets, provide warnings, reduce their visibility, and provide their own alternative explanations of what is true and what is false. So if it falsely depicts content as reality, Twitter is going to flag it and present what they deem to be the truth. And that's where the slippery slope enters. Like, who is the arbiter of truth?
No, yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't think anyone should have the power to censor these platforms. Like, I think we need to move to a place where, because the problem here is that Twitter is, they put themselves in this fucking, and I think that's why, like, Jack wants, you know, like, is launching this Blue Sky group that he has to try and distribute Twitter out more and make it more of a protocol than a company, because they're in this fucking this terrible situation where they're being held liable for the stuff that gets shared on the platform. So then they have to step in and do this fucking shit, right? So really where we need to be is we need to be in a position where it is a protocol and it's not a company and that no one has that control, so it's just all fucking moot in the first place. And even in that situation, there could still be moderation. You just subscribe to, like, different moderation policies or whatever, you know, and you'll have choice. You can move around. It's not like one company has control over that shit.
Yeah, I mean, this is a topic that has me torn, because Twitter is an app, a company that's provided my life with incredible value. I would not be here right now without Twitter. Twitter, as a networking tool, has got me to this point, undoubtedly the most powerful tool in my life to get me to where I am today, as when it comes to networking and meeting people, meeting you. And
yeah, we met through Twitter.
Yeah, a bunch of other Twitter people. Love. And it's just like, it's so disheartening to see them having to do this shit, and them doing it. And like a lot of people want to blame Jack singularly, but I do think that he does not like having to do this.
I mean, it's bad for business too.
Yeah. So it's just fuck. It's like, fuck, come on. Like, why?
I Yeah, and like just tomorrow they can just cut off your Twitter existence with like no repercussions and no explanation. They can just cut you off.
Well, that's the fucked up thing. Like, so Michael Krieger from Liberty Blitzkrieg, he wrote a great piece on this earlier this week and basically highlighted the fact that now that Zero Hedge is banned, you can't even go back and see their old tweets or people's responses to their tweets. So you basically have like a whitewashing of history. Like, whether you like it or not, those tweets were a part of history and were archivable, but now they are not. And that's where like the censor rule gets scary, right?
Yeah, I just
wiping out parts of history.
Yeah, I just think, yeah, it's fucked up, you know, but it's like a lost cause. Like, we need distributed platforms instead. We don't, you know, it's the logical extreme of what all these centralized platforms are going to always become.
Yeah.
You're never going to be able to avoid it.
Yeah.
Maybe. Unless it's distributed.
Yeah. No, and again, it seems like Jack wants that to happen.
We'll see. I believe it when we see it.
Same. Cautiously optimistic.
The words of the day.
Yeah. That's all I got. I'm trying to think what else we could riff on. Privacy.
Yeah, so there's a new school in another school district in upstate New York that's adding facial recognition. Just fucked up.
Think about what you're subjecting your children to, freaks. You're going to send them to go be surveilled all day? Is that what you want? Is that the world you want? You want the world to be a place where your kid grows up creeped out and worried about being tracked?
Always being watched.
Always being watched. Big Brother's watching you. He's watching us. And hopefully, again, speak up as you're seeing. Speaking up works, I think.
Oh, you want to talk about Tesla?
I mean,
to the moon.
Tesla, it's under 700 again, right? Hit 935 at one point.
Higher, I think, right?
I'm not even sure.
Yeah, that was crazy. That felt like 2017.
I just feel like .com.
Bitcoin markets. It's
like irrational exuberance defined or personified.
Just top things.
Yeah, it's, I mean, hopefully a lot of people, maybe people were rolling their Tesla profits into Twitter, and that's why we pumped.
Yeah, into Bitcoin?
Into Bitcoin, when I say Twitter.
Twitter pumped too.
Twitter's up like 10% today.
Yeah.
It's possible, either or. And again, it looks like I'm not going to say we're going into another bull market, but somebody pointed out today.
Went all-time high, Marty.
I don't know. But like again, a lot of the shit coins are going to pump too, and the shills are going to come out.
They've already started. I'm tired. I'm not ready for it.
It's going to come though. It's coming.
I'm not ready for it.
It's coming. We're not ready for it. Never ready for it.
Tired just thinking about it.
Yeah, just think of, try to find the signal out there. There's these illiquid shit coins can be gamed. Retail tends to be pretty dumb when they first get in the space. A lot of people just throwing darts at the board. A lot of unit bias out there. Hey, who knows? Maybe it's fundamentals and we're just jaded old geriatric fucks.
It's definitely not fundamentals. Yeah, but I mean, look, you're just, the majority of people are going to get their ass kicked if they try and trade altcoins. So, yeah. But you're welcome to try if you want to.
Yes.
Everyone needs to touch the stove every once in a while.
Get your dick pushed in. It's happened to us. Yeah, that's all we got. We're an hour in.
Stay humble, stack sats.
Peace and love.